sustain. Listen to it.
I'm not hearing anything.
You would, though, if it were playing, because it really, it's famous for its sustain. I mean, you can just hold it.
Well, I mean, so you'd have to...
You can go and have a bite. No, you'd still be hearing that one.
Yeah.
Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show, brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of digital audiobooks with over 180,000 downloadable titles. They have everything you could be looking for, titles across all genres. Since it's going to be a little music heavy today, then there are tons I could recommend to you. Autobiographies, do you like music? You should. Let's see, what autobiographies have I gone through? Oh, Paul Stanley, Sammy Hagar, Joe Satriani, Tony Iommi, Yngwie. Nobody can say that name right, except him. Yngwie, for Christ's sake. Don't you want to hear Yngwie tell you his life story? Can you imagine that? If you're a fan of metal or guitar or whatever, loads of autobiographies to choose from. And guess what? For listeners and viewers of the show, Audible's offering you a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial so you can try out their service. Here's what you do. Go to audibletrial.com/cape, the initials for this show, cape, and sign up. Get your free audiobook download, start your 30-day trial, and check everything out. I've been an Audible subscriber since 2010. And I get 2 books a month, and I love it. I'm listening to things all the time. And I recommend any of those books I just rattled off from you, and tons more for the guitar-oriented Tony Iommi, Dave Mustaine. Tons of people have autobiographies that they've done. And most of the time, they're reading them themselves. So check it out. audibletrial.com/cape. Free book, free 30-day trial. Get on it and support the show. And, of course, follow the show as well. At Cape Pod on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, Chris Abalo's podcast experiment. Give us a thumbs up. We do appreciate it. And Tumblr as well. I keep forgetting to mention that. CapePod.tumblr.com. If you tumble, you can follow the show on there. And of course, subscribe on iTunes. Give the show 5 stars. And subscribe on YouTube as well. All links are at ChrisAbalo.com. It's Monday, May 25th. So it is Memorial Day. So a thank you to all the men and women who are serving and who have served, and thank you to their families as well, because anyone, which is almost everyone, anyone who has a family member or someone who they're close to who has served in the military, it's difficult on families as well. Having somebody actively in the military or on deployment, it's trying on a family. So we thank all of you for your service, and a happy Memorial Day to all. And now, with that, I would like to welcome my guest for this week, amazing musician and all-around amazing dude. Give it up for Dale Turner.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thanks, Chris.
Nice. Good way to start with a little Michael Winslow-ish kind of.
Yeah, Memorial Day, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier because the whole thing is about the, you know, families and friends of those who've actually passed away, you know, no longer with us.
Yes.
Memorial. Yes. Super bummer. I was, if you don't mind me going there for a second.
No, go for it, please.
My uncle was in World War II, crazily, in Pearl Harbor on the, I think it was the USS Maryland, which is one of the ones that didn't get hit in Pearl Harbor, but he just passed away like 2 months ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the kind of memorializing or if they, you know, need to be actually in the line of duty, because he definitely was in the line of duty, but yeah, now he's no longer with us.
I think all service should be honored. I mean, in my opinion.
Damn straight.
My show, I think if you've served, you should, it should count, because you still gave yourself to the service of the country. So I agree. And
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm with you on that one.
Right on.
And now we're going to get a geeky, musicy.
Uh-oh.
So I've known Dale for, about 9 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
I know. just talking before the show.
You came out from Boston, right?
Close.
I failed.
New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Because you knew Chris. I mean, still know Chris.
Chris Bono. Yeah. He's my guitar teacher for years.
Yeah, right on.
Got to get him on here. He's not out here often. Yeah. Listen, Chris Bono. How's it going? Yeah, love to get him on the show. He's not out here. Usually he's out for NAMM, and that's kind of it.
But grab him next
January, I suppose. Yeah, so I got a little bit of time. But yeah, I was did private lessons with him for years, 4 or 5 years or so,
and
helped prep me to come out here to go to school, which is where I met you, per the autobiography.
I'm sorry.
You folks may or may not be aware of Musicians Institute, 2006 to 2008, graduated in 2008, went to GIT, the guitar program. Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Wow.
Messes me up. Well, anytime I think about it,
don't think about it.
When that anniversary rolls around, it's like, God damn. I mean, even I graduated at the end of March of 2008. So to even think as far as like, God, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
That was 7 years ago. I can't believe it.
Yeah, time just keeps on blazing.
Yeah. Yeah. As my Uncle Richard said, time's very greedy. It don't exclude nobody.
Greedy and greasy.
Yeah, time's greasy too, because it just slips away from us. Yep. Slips out of our hands. Wow.
That was nothing.
If someone's listening to the audio version, it's not that kind of show. That was just, that wasn't what you might have pictured. Anyway, so you were one of the teachers, which was funny because I knew of you. Now, sit back and buckle up. Get comfy because I'm just going to kiss your ass for a little bit. I started reading Dale's columns and interviews in guitar magazines as a frail teenager who was learning to play guitar, which I started playing in 97.
Man.
And remember 1997?
I definitely remember that.
Oh, so long ago. But anyway, Dale wrote columns, still does write columns, various guitar magazines over the years. But I remember reading his interviews with various people, his lessons, transcriptions to songs in many cases. And in summer of 2000, after I graduated high school, big trip to Guitar Center, got myself a Fender American Standard Stratocaster and a Mesa Boogie Mark IV combo. And I was like, now I'm going to learn to play. No. I said, now I'm going to get better. And one of the first... I think it was the first book I got after that. It was a book called The Guitar Survival Kit.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding at all.
I didn't know that.
And
wow,
man, it was great because obviously you go it was at Guitar Center. I bought most of my, in New Jersey, most of my stuff I bought at Guitar Center in East Brunswick. And so you flip through the books and it came with a CD, which is fine because I need some kind of reference point. This is before DVDs or when.
Because you can't read.
Well, no, it's better if I learn by example.
I know you mean.
Either watching somebody or listening, or I'm like, okay, because at least then there's somewhere to track my progress. Because I got a Mel Bay book that was reading, I think the one everybody starts with.
Yeah.
The notation.
0, 1, 3, 1.
But it's notated. There's no tab. It was just notation. I'm like, and I had no idea. Like, I could be playing it right, or I could be, you know, completely off.
Yeah.
And it wasn't worth risking, but. Thankfully, the Guitar Survival Kit came with an audio CD,
I
learned how to play things. Thank you very much. Incidentally, I looked today because I was curious. Still available. Still in print. I don't know if you see a nickel from it, but folks, you can go to Amazon and pick up the Guitar Survival Kit. It's great. I learned
that was really fun. I do remember
book?
Doing that.
It's a really diverse book because it had rock and blues and jazz. And the only thing that doesn't really hold up are the lists in the back of the book.
Oh.
Because there are a lot of...
repertoire list,
era specific lists. Like if you want to play in a modern rock band, it doesn't really work.
Yeah,
anymore.
That wouldn't work. I remember the wedding band.
There was a wedding band
and the
list.
Blues band stuff.
Yes,
and maybe oh boy,
those are fine because those are from
those would be
that's a bygone.
Timeless.
Like those are those are specific
some classics that kind of are required. It seems still
there aren't a lot of blues classics or wedding classics that are coming out now. Yeah. At least not played by bands, not band songs.
Yeah.
So, but
wow, that's cool. I didn't know you had that.
Yeah, I did. I learned the blues turnarounds was the biggest thing. And just a couple of pentatonic licks, things that I learned from that book because it was revolutionary to have that CD, that reference point of wow, because at this point there was an AOL dial-up connection. There's no YouTube,
that's right.
Smartphones, nothing. This is 2000.
Sorry, YouTube.
These are olden days, Dale.
Was 06 when YouTube finally popped up?
I probably stumbled on YouTube around 06.
Okay.
Yeah, it was probably around before then, but that was the first time I became aware of it.
It is funny how many guitar, you know, kiddos now have no clue of, you know, any type of learning process pre-YouTube.
Yeah. So, we just had to pay $50 for the REH instructional videos. Yeah. VHS tapes.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, I want that George Lynch video and $50.
I still have those.
I do too.
I still have a VCR.
I do too.
I finally, just got a DVR. I'm such an idiot.
I just got one a year ago. Don't feel bad.
Well, you got a year on me though.
Well, but it doesn't matter. I'm still 10 years too
late.
Like
I would tape Jon Stewart, you know, like actually tape it, watch it later. And then finally, because of the, you know, whole digital satellite thing, I was past the point of no return with my receiver and they gave me like a warning in the mail. For real. If you don't upgrade, you're going to lose everything. So they came out and slapped in a new receiver and then...
This DVR is built in. It's one unit.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I didn't know what I was missing. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's way convenient.
Yeah,
I gotta say.
Big time.
I recorded a ton of stuff on DVR. But yeah, before that, we just had VHS tapes. And maybe, I remember borrowing a Steve Morse instructional video from a friend of mine when I was probably 17. And that was a big deal because I thought I could watch this thing again, get the lessons, and then this would be great. And he starts off with some chicken picking thing. I was like, nope, I'm done. Well, am I glad I didn't spend $50 on that? That was too hard.
Is that Power Lines? Is that one of those?
Yeah. I don't remember. I think his album's called Power Lines, isn't it?
Well, he did.
Or unless that was one of his instructional
videos. And my good buddy and mentor, actually, in the transcribing land, Colgan Bryan, transcribed those.
Really?
Videos, yeah. And he also did the B.B. King videos, which I just watched again since B.B. just freaking passed away last week. I was watching that and I remember my good buddy transcribed all that stuff.
The funniest thing, I mean, it's not funny, it's sad because I should have owned it already, but that B.B. King instructional video from 92 or something. It's been on DVD for ages. It's been on my Amazon wish list for ages, and it was $11.99, and I kept saying, man, I should pick this up, man, I should pick this up. And of course, now it's back ordered and it's $40. So like, I'm kicking myself. I mean, I should have bought it, I don't know, 7 years ago. Yeah, I should have bought it.
Get it together, man.
So, yeah, that was pretty disappointing. An opportunity missed, but I will be picking
still,
it up.
Yeah, you can still order it, and they'll just whenever it...
Oh, for sure, yeah. Well, I mean, now it's $39, so it's a little different, but I kept saying to myself, oh, I got to get that, man, $11.99. It's like 2 hours of instruction for B.B. King. And then, of course, he dies, and there we go. Anyway, yeah, so going back a ways, 2006, you were teaching at MI, which is funny because getting back to Chris Bono, he said you need to get Dale Turner or Tom Kolb as your instructor, private instructor. And I said, I will try because I knew you and Tom from your various articles and lessons. And you know, I'd known you by name for ages. And since I knew you were there, I was like, I have to. And then found out you guys had a handful of students who you did private lessons with, just, you know, schedule wise, didn't have as many as teachers who had a bulk of, you know, the majority of their schedule was doing one-on-one lessons with students.
Yeah, because we were doing class stuff.
Yeah, so I could never get in to your private lessons.
You had my yodeling class though, right?
I did. That was a good time because it was the only class we had to stand up during. The rest of the time I was sitting there. No, you know, it was great. Well, we'll get back to me in a second, as the show always does. But let's start out with you. Where were you hatched? Where did it all start for you?
My mama.
It's the first time on the show, everybody.
In the Seattle area, born in, I guess, Renton is where I lived at the beginning. And then cruised to a different town and lived there until I was 18. Came down here.
Nice.
Basically what happened.
Well, this was,
it was totally awesome up there. I miss it. And I haven't been back since 2009, which is bumming me out.
Even to visit?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Well, there was a point. See, but coming to LA, there was an era.
That's what happens when you have babies. Oh, sorry. Yeah, there's some.
They're not listening.
Late breaking news. Well, I guess that's not that late breaking. But yeah, that made it hard to be, you know, any road tripping.
Totally. Yeah, for travel.
Or airline madness.
A friend of mine just traveled with his just over 1 year old son and said he was perfect sometimes, other times it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I can't even imagine. But so started down there, came here because there was an era where if you were a guitar player, this was where, I mean, unless you're going to go to Nashville, I think it's before Austin was cool, you know, if we're talking like 20 years ago, I'm not when, and I'm certainly not, not guessing when, but there was a point where it was come out to LA.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Guitar. I said guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely the place to be because this is where the industry was, when there was an industry, as there was for decades. This is where it was.
And it's still rocking.
It is. It still exists in a different form now. Everything's broken down to many more smaller pieces as opposed to it used to just be a couple of big pieces. It's like a pyramid. It started up taller and narrower at the bottom, and now it's way wider at the bottom.
Splattered.
Top. Yeah, it's wider now, and the peak isn't as high as it used to be. Hmm. Is the short version of that, but I'm sure everybody knows that. So came down here, and how did you start doing this thing professionally, playing music professionally? That's nuts.
I mean, I still don't even know if I do that. Because I've always mixed it up.
True.
With everything, so.
You have to. You know, I'm doing a podcast. It's not, you know, I'm not paying my rent with music either.
Yeah, like if I was, like, truthfully now, I mean, I'm kind of, if I only derived every cent of my income from physically playing, I would be in trouble because I have had some wicked hand issues, which I think the last time you and I spoke or hung out, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, like right after that, I had cervical spine surgery.
Yes.
Is that right?
It was right before.
Okay. So yeah, like with the issues with my stupid hand, if I was Yngwie, I'd be in some deep shit. for real. You know what I mean? Cause I'd
personality wise? Oh, playing wise.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Playing wise.
Sorry.
So
sorry, Yngwie.
Yeah. So in a way,
don't unleash the fury on me. That never gets old.
You know, it's weird. I just sent Chris the audio for that because he was asking around about it. That whole event on the airplane. Yeah, weird. There's some cosmic stuff going on.
I can't.
Man,
there is. This is funny. Nobody can spell Yngwie Malmsteen. Try Y N G W I E. I think is how you spell
Yngwie. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Is it? Okay.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I've
interviewed him 4 different times, and he was always cool as hell.
Is he? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that, if nobody minds me going here.
Please.
Like, and 3 of them were lessons I did with him. It's completely, totally bitching. So going back to when he first started getting in print, I mean, he obviously is focused and to some extent single-minded, obviously, and really is, you know, on his track, and that's kind of all he cares about. And that's what a lot of musicians certain way are like.
He has his thing, and
period.
That's all he's interested in doing is his thing.
So at some point, you know, a journalist or two, you know, got him talking smack about some other artists, and he would just be, you know, blatantly go off on how much he hates a bunch of other stuff because he's passionate about, you know, both extremes. And so, of course, you know, once it shows up in one magazine or any form of print, media in general, then the next magazine wants the same kind of controversial crap in their magazine. So that kind of snowballed for a while because he's very easy to set off. You can bait the hook and he's obviously going to go off on something. So like when I interviewed him, I didn't want to go there because I respect him. I wanted to put stuff together so his fan base would be like, totally pumped. So the whole time it was totally kick ass. Super cool.
Nice.
But I mean, I could understand it being not cool, you know, but that's only if you, set them up that way.
If you bait somebody. Yeah, of course.
There are definitely some people that aren't flat out not cool.
Sure. I'm not going to ask you to out anybody.
Yeah, that's
I'm not going to stop you either.
But most of them are cool. It's just, you know, they get very strong personalities.
Sure. You know? Well, I mean, like it's come up repeatedly in conversation I've had on this show. You don't, for the most part, let's say 90-10, you don't get a successful career by being a horrible person because nobody wants to work with you.
Or at least keep the career.
Exactly. Like you can't sustain a career in anything.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, whether you sell insurance or you're a guitar wizard, you can only go so far if you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's not going to pan out because nobody wants to work with you.
Yeah.
So yeah. A lot of people are really, really cool, but there's this myth that like I said, been over many times on the shows, myth that everybody, you got to be a bastard. It's like, no.
Screw that.
People want to work with other people who are cool. That's the truth.
Yeah, I think you can only be a bastard if you're already rich and you somehow conceal the fact that you're a bastard to the public.
Yeah, that's tough to do.
I have no idea. I don't see how that would possibly pan out.
Maybe
there's a certain segment of the population that wants to watch a train wreck, you know, kind of thing. So then part of that feeds into how they become a form of success, you know, cultural goofiness.
Now it's even worse. Now every explosion's required. I mean, the Yngwie thing was 25 years ago or something? That was like in the 80s, I think. Somebody had a cassette recorder, one of the roadies or something, was running
it. That was way more recent.
Was it?
Yeah, that thing.
That was
like 2000 or something.
What was it really?
Which is obviously not recent.
Well, no, yeah, I'm thinking, I remember being like a teenager when I first heard of Yngwie, and then I heard about this whole Lisa Vera. First of all, folks, look it up. I'm sure you can find it somewhere. Dale has it if you don't. And yeah. So he'll email it to you.
Sure.
But what happened was there was a, he was drunk supposedly on a plane, was being difficult, as drunk people are, has nothing to do with the, you know, guitar shredders.
They're not always people. Difficult.
Well, that is water?
Yep.
It's clear. It could go either way.
That's totally water.
So apparently the one flight attendant poured a drink on him. I don't remember exactly what it was, and he just got all... Now, Yngwie is a very Dungeons & Dragons classical metal kind of guy. he has a song called I Am a Viking on his second album. Come on.
Yeah.
But anyway... So he's kind of, his head is in that zone, and he starts flipping off on the, I don't remember it word for word, but the big stand up thing is he yells her in his Swedish accent, "You unleash the fucking fury."
That was pretty good.
I'm leaning more, see, I'm wearing my Terminator shirt, so I'm leaning more towards Schwarzenegger, which that would be a hell of an out. Can you imagine? Like, you know how, have you seen how Christopher Lee has recently done like the metal out where he's narrating? Cause he has that big, powerful, like, "And then the swords and the mighty warriors rode." Wow. And he's doing that, and there's like a metal band chugging away in the background.
I didn't see that.
I think Arnold should do an album with Yngwie doing the music, and Arnold just sings the whole thing. Think about Arnold dressed like King Conan, like the end of the first Conan movie.
Yeah.
Singing I Am a Viking. Oh, talk about breaking the internet. That'd be amazing. I don't know the lyrics well enough to do it, but man.
I am a Viking. I'll walk all over you.
I'm a Viking.
First line.
I'll walk all over you.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Thanks. For anyone listening, they're like, oh, Arnold just wrote in the studio.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'll see the light tonight. Well, anyway, that just sounds like Arnold having a stroke.
That's good.
So, as you alluded to, wrote for a ton of magazines. Wrote and how did all that kind of come about with writing? Was it through gigging? Was it through...
I was on a mission, man.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you really quick how it unfolded, but it was way more, nutty the way it
happened. Well, the Cliff Notes version is fine.
First of all, it started from the transcribing thing is what kind of got me into the publishing universe. And first thing I transcribed was like that Blood Sugar Sex Magik Chili Peppers record.
Yeah.
Which is killer. So I did several projects in a row. And a lot of it I did with my buddy Colgan that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, that work dried up. So I, this is kind of hard to remember. I started to work for Carl Verheyen as doing some PR for him to promote his solo record and stuff, which is really cool. And sent a transcription to Guitar Magazine. And basically, they ended up hiring me, which I didn't really expect. I just sent it to them to kind of see if they'd put it in the magazine, that kind of thing. So then I started working for that other company, and now I'm, directly working for them, so it was cool. And they also did their own instructional books. So eventually, they kind of asked if I'd be interested, and I sent a whole writing sample analyzing some Steve Morse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first book I got to do was a Steve Morse guitar style book. Whew. And then I just did a bunch of stuff like that. Then another publishing company that I was doing stuff for started Guitar One. But before that, I started transcribing for Guitar World. I don't know. It's all kind of meshing in my head right now. So transcribing, writing some instructional books, Guitar School and Guitar World. Sometimes I'd write tiny little things. Then when Guitar One was born, I started to do the same for them. But the whole mission was kind of for me, I did have a thing in mind, a stepping stones thing of transcribing, writing some instructional books, interviewing the guitar gods and goddesses, trying to pay homage to them, and writing kind of unique instructional content in magazines. So I kind of wanted to get all that going, and that's basically the path that I went.
Nice.
In a way, I'm still kind of to some extent.
Yeah.
Still writing for Guitar World.
Yeah, you have a monthly acoustic guitar column in Guitar World, if anyone wants to check that out. Intimateaudio.com, by the way, is where you go for all things Dale Turner.
Almost all things.
News, music. Yeah.
There's no baby pictures.
There's a line. But for music, for lessons, for all sorts of Guitar Madness, IntimateAudio.com, and Dale Turner Music.
Good memory.
On, yeah, of course. Funnily enough, I don't know if you
Facebook,
remember.
That's what you're saying.
Yes, Dale Turner Music on Facebook as well. Give that the thumbs up. I don't know if you remember, actually. It was in, because we met in later in 2006. I'd been going to MI for a few months at the point where we finally crossed paths. Not that I was actively looking for you. I was actively trying to become a better musician. I wasn't hanging out. Just like, where's Dale Turner's office?
I wouldn't help you there.
Yeah.
I'm a mess.
But that's not true at all. But I appreciate your modesty. Yeah, you and I have crossed paths or talked, or maybe even Chris reached out to you and mentioned about that one of his students was there. So anyway, we crossed paths. And I spoke to you about, we saw each other and chatted on a regular basis. And then there was actually a point around the holiday season, 2006, I was going to record at your Intimate Audio Studio.
That.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I was
totally
going to do a few
that.
Covers. The holidays were coming up. And then I got as our friends in the Northeast would say, a wicked chest infection, and I couldn't sing, and I had to pull the plug like a week or two beforehand, and it was really bad. I was heartbroken too because I had a bunch of cover songs lined up, and I think maybe a few originals, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. Chris Abal, the Intimate Audio Sessions.
I remember that.
It may still happen. I still get the bug to sit and record something, even if it's just covers. Just put something out there. I mean, I still play almost every day, and I still write. Just for the sake of, I get that performance itch where, okay, it's not going out and gigging, but there's still, I want to have something to show for it.
Yeah,
I've still
for
been
sure.
More than half my
get
life.
Get the body of work established.
Totally.
Document the tunage.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, see, now it's funny because I can whip out my, smartphone and record something that's pretty decent quality, at least to refer back to.
Sure,
not that I would
for,
release something like that. But
archiving.
Yeah, just for the sake of documenting whatever it was. Whereas when I was going to school, I had a little Sony digital recorder that I must have spent like $90 on to record classes. So I'd always have them as a reference point. In fact, I went through, I have a whole folder dedicated to my six quarters. I know that sounds funny. My six quarters at MI. And I took two classes with you, consecutive quarters. It was... Oh, now I'm drawing the blank. Well, what was the Jimi Hendrix guitar course?
Okay.
That was the first round, you did that.
Wow.
Which
right
was
on.
Great because I really, not to get a bunch of hate slung my way, but I wasn't as into Hendrix until I learned how to play it. And then I got it once I learned how to play it. Then I understood how special of a player he was when I actually had to play it. Listening to it, it never did anything for me, which, you know, sometimes things take a while before it's like, oh, I get it. And he was one of those for me. And the other was, it wasn't guitar orchestra.
No, that was the yodeling thing.
Yeah, the yodeling.
It was the guitar self-accompanying yodeler class.
Yes.
The guitar vocal accompaniment, right?
No.
No,
it actually wasn't.
Never mind.
We did do a guitar. That's right. I'm sorry. I did take that class with you as well. It was a guitar vocal accompaniment. I'm so sorry.
It made such an impression.
That may have been our first introduction.
Okay.
Because you were teaching Wonderwall, and you're like, whatever happened to them? And I gave you like 18 minutes of what they were up to in the last couple of years.
Wow.
What happened to Oasis? And I'm like, I know everything about Oasis.
Yeah, I didn't know Gallagher just put out another solo record.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Totally.
I mean, you can't argue with the dude as far as his ability to be, him being a great songwriter, rather.
Well, it's his brother that's the one that's the goofball, isn't it?
Was. Well, it's the same thing. When, you know, that people bring up about like Justin Bieber, like, look, if you're young, attractive, rich, and wildly famous, you're going to be a douchebag. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I could have been too if I was 21 and had insane success and money and everything I wanted.
Douchebag.
Yeah, that's it. It's just, it's not like a switch is flipped. It's just you grow up in a world of yes.
It's
if that's what you come up
in. It's a recipe for douchebaggery.
Yeah. And at some point, hopefully you get out of it. But, you know, now they're in their 40s, so it's probably not as crazy. I wish they'd come around again. I'm glad I got to see them, Oasis, twice. But anyway. That's right. It was guitar vocal accompaniment. No, it's fine. I'm trying to remember the name of the class because I was going to bring in, what I'm getting at is I listened back to the audio and I was going to bring a clip in to play of one of the things we broke down, which you played along with.
Wait, the audio from the class?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
But the quality is.
That's pretty cool.
It's okay. It's almost, by comparison, it's going to sound like, let's say, an audio
you
cassette.
You were bootlegging my class.
No, you were
good.
Well aware at the time.
Oh,
cool. it was a guitar harmony kind of class where you do instrumental arrangements of pieces. We did Oh Pretty Woman.
Oh, okay.
We did,
I know what you're talking about. There's a reading ensemble thing.
Yes, guitar ensemble.
That's
that
what
was
it.
That was it. Because I did a pretty bitchin' solo to Oh Pretty Woman.
Good for
I
you.
I was really proud of. And I was going to bring, maybe I'll throw it up on chrisaballo.com so people can hear it, but I wasn't going to throw it in the middle of the broadcast.
What do you mean
seem
maybe?
Like too much stroking.
Bring it on. Do it.
All right.
Just get her done.
Yeah, that was cool. Fun. We did that. What was the Stevie Wonder tune we did? I think is what we did. A bunch of a really varied selection of songs we did, which is really like, you can appreciate all the different parts that go into, you know, breaking the vocal parts down to different guitar parts on top of the rhythm and everything. Really, really cool class. And really examine the composition part of it, which is very, very cool. But yeah, wow, guitar vocal accompaniment. I completely forgot.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, because you're talking about how you archived ideas. That's why we went here, right?
Oh, I was saying I recorded the classes.
Okay.
The recorder. Yeah, the quality is...
Your $90 digital thing.
Yes.
Right.
And now I'm just saying, like, by comparison, I record something pretty clearly on my phone. And my BlackBerry from 2009 had way better quality than this recorder did that I got in 2006. It's
well, trip out
crazy
on this.
That much.
Because I'm ancient, I cassette record everything, or have. I mean, I don't now, but...
Oh, I have rehearsals, yeah.
But I mean, I have stuff going back a billion years and a billion cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
And a billion years ago, I took some of these cassettes and dubbed down the coolest parts onto another cassette.
Oh, so you had bouncing track, like the Beatles? Yeah. You were like adding, combining tracks?
Because it's pointless to record it if you don't know it exists, if you're presumably going to eventually use it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because archiving is very important if you're like a songwriting person.
Mm-hmm.
So super recently, I took all the rest of my freaking cassettes and I just recorded them all into Logic.
Oh, nice.
And then chopped out tediously all the crap and then actually kind of filed them all in a big iTunes folder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason why I'm doing all this, but that was a trip because, I mean, now I don't want to say it's so much easier now.
No.
But yeah, you can
put on your grumpy old man pants.
I do it with the USB drive thing and just label the file.
Yeah.
But if anybody's, you know, if you're a songwriter and you're hopefully recording everything for the sake of not losing your stuff, make sure you label it or it's going to be a complete pain in the ass to ever retrieve anything you ever do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Count yourself in. No, I'm talking about when you record yourself.
Totally, yeah.
Because if you listen to yourself, that particular example, are we still cool?
Oh, yeah.
That example, like 3 months later, and you don't hear it with a count in, if your example started on like on the end of three, you're not going to know.
Yeah.
I'm serious about that because that's happened to me. Like if I recorded something, I did it because I thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to it a million years later and with no count in.
Yeah, no idea
and it
where
it feels like it's starting on one. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, this whole thing sounds
no
off.
Yeah, so... You guys and gals out there, if you record yourselves, count yourself in.
Yeah.
Count
to yourself
seven.
A favor. I save my stuff by dates. I go year, month, day, and then name the idea.
Yeah.
Just so I can always find whatever, some kind of indexing way of going
good
about it, then file it. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
You've done a bunch of original stuff too. So what we're going to hear is a montage of songs from Dale's album.
What the
debut album of all original material. Right? Right.
Yeah.
You heard one track a couple of months ago on where I did a C100 radio where I played a bunch of people's songs. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't on that one. It was Cape 34, I think it was, where I played a bunch of music.
I remember it.
Bad
really
Seed
cool.
by Dale Turner on there. But we're going to hear a montage of songs from Dale's album Mannerisms Magnified and talk a bit about his original stuff in just a moment. So enjoy this little montage.
Thank you.
Walk with me. she sunk. You pack up the junk and stuff it in the trunk. You suck. Temptations raging for a sick soul, preying on the young and trusting persuasive demons, telling him to covet all that's small.
How's that for diversity, folks? Yeah, we're back.
It's banging my head.
That's so incredibly diverse. Tell me you did some of that vocalization on the album.
No.
Okay.
There was a bunch of other crap on there, though.
You played everything, though, didn't you? Or like the overwhelming majority of instruments?
Literally all of it.
Yeah, literally all of it.
Total nightmare. That was pretty fun, though. Like all the real drums in my living room. bass, all the guitars, piano, accordion, mandolin, and yodeling, as I keep calling it.
Yes.
That took forever, but it was cool. 2010, though, is 2010, when that sucker came out. Can't believe it.
Mannerisms Magnified is the name of the album. You folks can pick it up digitally, basically anywhere, iTunes, Amazon. If you're going to pick it up on iTunes, make sure you subscribe to Chris Abala's Podcast Experiment. And if you're one of the people like me who's in love with tangible products, you can get it on Amazon and CD Baby. Get yourself a CD copy
The
album as well. Well, of course. It's great. It's insane, just the amount of influence. A little bit of Brian Wilson in there, as you can tell. There's a little,
just a smattering. Smidge.
Yeah, there's a dusting of Brian Wilson.
Yeah, that first tune is Brian on the Brain.
Yes, which is nuts.
He's got a movie coming out, by the way, that's called Love and Mercy, that comes out next month.
Yeah, I think it's...
if anybody's a Brian Wilson fan, they gotta go.
Paul Dano plays the young Brian Wilson. Yeah. John Cusack plays the older, like adult Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
It looks great. It looks really, really cool. I don't know if it's sanctioned or not by the family, but I mean it's
they looks licensed to the actual tracks and everything. They recut a lot of the stuff in the actual studio and even used the session talkback from the original footage.
Oh, so apparently. In that case it's gotta be sanctioned by that. Because I know that was the problem I ran into with the Jimi Hendrix movie. Is it All Is By My Side? The one with the dude from Outkast played Jimi Hendrix. The family didn't give permission for the songs, so it didn't have actual Jimi Hendrix songs in a movie about Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Although apparently now there's another one, a deal's been closed in one of the studios to make an authorized biopic about Hendrix, where they're allowing the music to be used. But yeah, that'd be a big snafu.
Also from Seattle. Okay. Oh, anyway. Hendrix.
Oh, never heard of him. What else you got going on?
I'm wearing
now?
My Seattle flannel.
You're still representing the home.
Yeah.
Home territory.
My PJs.
That was 2010. So what do you have going on lately? What are you up to now?
Well, quick rundown, I suppose.
Sure.
Since you and I last hung out two years ago.
2 years ago, yeah. It's just about, I think it was May of 2013.
Yeah.
You were going to be on like the fifth or sixth episode of the show, and we just couldn't make it work.
And then I had the freaking...
And then you had surgery.
Spine surgery, which was interesting.
And people have been beating down my door to be on the show since, so I was able to squeeze you in finally. Yeah. But anyway, brother. So for the last few years.
So that surgery happened, which slowed me down a little bit. But, I mean, I just spent like 2 years solid with, you know, what time I had trying to promote the heck out of the Mannerisms Magnified thing. Yeah. Then my hands stopped working, which is part of the reason why the surgery happened. Mm. These two fingers took a shit. Oh, sorry. Lost like half their coordination.
No kids are listening.
It was a total disaster. I mean, the stuff we were talking about earlier. So the surgery was meant to stop the problem from worsening. And the good news, this finger at least got improved a little bit, but this one still is
wonky.
Really bad. So anyway, then... But like last year, had another one of those baby things, little baby.
Wait, like a little human.
A little baby, yeah.
Huh.
And then like two weeks before he popped out, I ran into myself with my car and crushed my leg.
Wait a minute.
Totally crushed my leg into my garage door.
How does that happen?
That was
Did you just not put the brake on, it rolled back into you or something?
It was a little more complicated.
Was it your future self who went back and drove the car into you?
That probably would have panned out a little more favorably if that was the case. Yeah, stupid story, but I have a small driveway, but it's steep. Come home from work, from MI, park, usually put it in park and pull the brake, but there's a strange girl standing in our doorway, which was like, what the hell are you doing? So I, rolled down the window and I'm like, what's up? She was asking for money for something, so I just told her to go. But that threw me out of sync. Plus, not that people need to know this, but literally the early wee hours before that, this is sad, my wife's father passed away. Oh. So we found out about this online like at 2 a.m. So I think I was on fumes, distracted, and whatever. So I go down to unlock my garage door, but the car was in drive and just comes crushing down on me.
Oh.
Crushes me into the garage door and still running, and I'm pinned and I can't do anything. And so luckily my wife was home and came out and saved me. Anyway, so my leg was jacked.
Well, she's a keeper.
Yeah, no question. Why am I even talking about that?
Just a rundown of why you haven't made an album since 2000.
I mean, yeah, that's all. I mean, none of those are really reason, but some crap went down that kind of slowed me down. But I, anyway, I did. The next one is kind of close to being finished. hilariously. But I'm taking a little bit of a detour to experiment with a whole other, like, I don't know if I can call it career path, but another supplementary career move, trying to diversify a little bit. We'll see how it goes. Can I keep yammering? Or am I?
No, go ahead. No, we got, no. Clock's running, but I will let you know.
Okay, sorry, man.
No, I mean, don't worry about it.
Maybe it's interesting. Like, last November, I started reading this book on cartoon music. Vintage interviews with Carl Stalling, who's the guy who did all the music, most of the music for all the, you know, vintage 40s, 50s Warner Brothers cartoons.
Yeah.
Then somewhere after that, because I always read at night, you know, but it always been like autobiographies and crap like that. But somewhere I switched into reading this cartoon music book. Then I read a Jerry Goldsmith book, and I started kind of getting in this film composing composer, you know, history thing. I don't know, just for the hell of it. And then randomly, at the beginning of this year, a friend of mine who's a pretty major orchestrator deep in the film music community randomly sends me an email telling me he's been listening to my older album. He says, damn it, you should be getting into film music. Like, he was really trying to motivate me. And it was like, huh. So I'm getting this, you know, not to make this cosmic and, you know, that kind of, I'm not really like one of those guys. But, you know, I've been reading these books about film composing. Coincidentally, my newer stuff is more cinematic, believe it or not. Atmospheric, you know, new sounds from this, you know, previous thing. So anyway, long story short, I haven't really worked on the new record since about mid-February because I've had a lot of other work stuff, but trying to kind of slowly see if I can pull off some kind of film composing stuff. So first I've kind of just been going over my vast archive of tunes, you know, stuff that would, anyway, it's probably too boring to talk about.
No, not at all. But, well, just for the arranging of listening to the samples that we just heard. I mean, I have the album, so I've heard I know Mannerisms Magnified. I know the album. But just listening to that sample, I'm sure anybody can tell from an arranging standpoint, especially when you're playing all the instruments, you're dialed in when it comes to putting together something layered and something that ultimately has a theme to it. Some would call it a song. Some would call it a theme. Not well in as much as like everything, like the Superman. You know, everybody knows that recurring theme or, you know, Imperial March or whatever. Like, everybody knows that there's a theme, a motif, if you will,
yeah,
that goes on in a song.
Well, John Williams, the thing that's killer about him is he is a thematic. Like, he doesn't just sound like a bunch of arpeggios and chord changes only.
He's
got obvious, you know, focal point music stuff. Is that kind of what you're
totally
talking
about? That's what
with
I mean.
John like, Williams,
people who,
I mean, obviously.
Who jump out. Yeah, the people who compose things in it.
He would definitely be
an influence.
You would, I mean, he's just the man.
Well,
there's a lot of people like that that are... Like,
sure. And you know what? Not a bad move either, because I have it on good authority that a lot of films and cartoons and stuff get made out here. Not just as a voice actor, but also as, you know, many other.
Yeah.
Well, as far
we'll
as I know.
I'll keep you posted.
Yes, please do.
But I made a little, you know, I got a demo brewing and I'm already scoring some crap, but it's...
Really?
It's there's two things that are totally up in there and I don't know if they're really going to happen. So in the meantime, though... Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right.
I got a... can I babble about this and then I'll shut up?
Go for it.
When I was 9 and 10, I used to do claymation movies, my own stuff, which I kind of forgot.
Wow.
Because my dad had a Super 8, you know, those old school video cameras.
Yeah.
So I would tediously like make clay, you know, characters and stuff and hit the shutter and tediously move all these dudes around. And I actually totally forgot about that until I digitized a bunch of those old movies really recently. So I found those and I yanked them out of the digital file and I'm actually going to score those just for the hell of it, just to see if I can do it. So that'll be, I mean, it's more of just an experiment because I really don't know anything about what, how, if I could do it.
Well, if you need somebody to narrate to move things along, I mean, I'm stuck with this radio voice. So what am I going to do with it? Hey,
if you
need somebody,
if you can do a caveman voice,
I can do anything.
A clay caveman voice. I don't know what a caveman sounds like. I mean, I don't know if you do.
I can. Well, I haven't heard one, but I can make something up.
Sweet.
That's what I do. But we don't have time for it right now. No. So,
sorry, man.
No, it's all right. No need to apologize. I'm enjoying it. Like I said, I've been hoping for this for a while, so I'm glad we're able to make it work. And it's going to happen again for sure, especially because you got stuff.
Please.
You've got oars in the water. Let me ask you, though, before we go, since you've done a bunch of interviews, bunch of music luminaries, the ones that stand out.
Because there are over 100 different cats, which is pretty cool.
Just timely. Did you ever meet or interview B.B. King by chance?
No, sadly.
Okay.
But Brian Wilson, I did, and that would have been one of the greatest ones for me personally.
Yeah.
John Frusciante, I did several times.
That was
a real joy. One of the coolest guys ever that people might not realize would be Slash. I got to interview him like 4 times as well. Got to jam with him once.
Really?
He gave me a weird pick that apparently nobody has.
It was
the Velvet Revolver pick with a logo they rejected. So I have
a
pick that doesn't even exist. I mean, except unless he still has them.
Hey, so
that was pretty cool.
He had to give them away. It's like nobody knows what this is.
Super cool. And a lot of those, it's hard to, because that was kind of a while ago. But Ted Green, I got to interview before he passed away. George Benson, kind of tons of the 80s, shredding beasts. Who are some guys that or gals that that are some of your favorites?
Well, let's see.
So I can rip on them.
If I could download the ability from people, I would want to have the technical proficiency of Paul Gilbert, but the melodic sensibility of David Gilmour.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was lucky enough during my time at MI to have a one-on-one lesson with Paul Gilbert. I met him several times and he's great.
Right.
Got to get him in here too. And he's, as a person.
He just had a baby. Oh, sorry, good.
Yes, he did actually. And funnily enough, he did too. All you people, those musicians popping out kids. It's crazy. Because you're all crazy. No, not really. But he was great to talk. Geez, all sorts of people who I met who rolled through MI too. Paul Scofield was really, really cool. Greg Howe.
John Scofield. There.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Paul Scofield?
I'm sorry, John Scofield. Right. I'm still hung up on Paul Gilbert. Wow, that's John hilarious. Scofield, yes.
Chucky Scofield?
I'm just going to go through a bunch of easy names. Go through the names of all the members of the Beatles.
Gunther.
Ringo Scofield? Ran through a bunch. Those two, anyway, for the ability to play like them, if I had to, that's who I'd go with. It was who got you started playing.
That's deadly.
Out of curiosity, before we go, what made you say, because I found through my friends and musicians I've met, there was always, at one point, there was something that just flipped a switch with them or made them say, I got to pick up that thing and find out how to play that.
The first thing was definitely just the music, because I got way into rock after already doing, like, I played trumpet and piano at the same time, which were not really rocking, I guess. I was way into, Dio, stuff like that. My first favorite guy was definitely Vivian Campbell. But then all the other ones, Randy Rhoads, I literally worshipped to the point where when I turned 25, I felt like I was going to get hit by lightning if I got on an airplane, because I like literally worshipped him. Don't tell anybody. But
nobody's listening.
Posters all over my wall. My whole wall was literally covered with all that stuff, but especially Randy. Anyway.
Yeah, that era. I mean, all the 80s. That's what I'm, as much as people pick on it, at least the 80s, at least when it came to rock music, at least there was a sense of everybody kind of wanted to outdo each other. It was more of a competition, I think, when it came to guys want to play faster or, have hit songs or whatever it was. I just felt like at least there were bands in the charts, whereas now it's all pop tarts.
Before it got homogenized, which always happens,
It's just all club music now. Everything's just the beat, and that's kind of it.
White noise and a backbeat.
That's it. All right, we're out of time. Thank you for coming in, Dale.
Sorry.
Get out. No. Thank you very much for coming in. This has been a blast.
Thank you for having me, man.
Sit down. So I'm glad we finally were able to make this work. And come back anytime, especially when you have something released. I know you have a lot of things in the hopper right now. So definitely come back in. Once again, intimateaudio.com
is
where you can find Dale. Dale's home on the web. And Dale Turner Music on Facebook. Give the thumbs up. Mannerisms Magnified, available everywhere digitally. And you can find the CD and all appropriate links. And lots of lessons with Dale on the Guitar World.
Oh, yeah.
on the channel, on the YouTube channel. So check that out for you.
And on their website.
The strummers out there, a lot of acoustic lessons.
And in the actual magazine. It's
right?
A magazine.
Monthly
pretty
instruction,
cool.
A monthly column, rather, in the magazine. So check that out if you are, in fact, a strummer. And, of course, this show, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at KPod. Please like the show on Facebook and support the show. Once again, audibletrial.com/cape. And show our sponsor a little love so they can continue to support us. And we can keep bringing you this fascinating entertainment once a week. And Tumblr as well, capepod.tumblr.com. Follow me at Chris Abalo on Twitter, Chris Sells Out on Instagram. So until next time, for Dale Turner, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment. See you next week.
You just bought it.
Don't touch it.
I wasn't going to touch it.
No, don't touch it.
I was just pointing at it.
Well, don't point even.
Don't even point?
No, it can't be played. Never.
Can I look at it?
No. No, you've seen enough of that.